roughly 120 names are gathered together, as we've looked at last week. And they're waiting in Jerusalem. They're literally in the upper room, and they're praying, and they're asking God, no doubt, for his guidance and his leading. And they were told of God to wait there on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God would come in power and, of course, would empower the local assembly there. So here in Acts chapter 1, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Acts chapter 1, we'll pick up our reading in verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Again, we know it's the 120, roughly 120, verse 14, that we see here. Actually, verse 15. Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. So you see the context is an assembly of people, right? It's an assembly. It's a church assembly. We go on, and the Bible tells us, men and brethren, this is Peter now, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Very graphic. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue, Asodama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric or office let another take. Wherefore, of these men, which have accompanied us with us all the time of the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We ask your blessings, God, now in the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we pray often, may he be our teacher today. May he be our guide today. And God, we know and we mean from the bottom of our heart that those words are more than just words and prayer that we pray. God, we sincerely mean that. We need his help. We need your help, God, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. What you find literally in these verses of scripture that we read today is literally we're going to see the final word on Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was one of the 12, one of the original 12 that the Lord Jesus has chosen. But as we'll show you, as this begins to unfold, and we'll give you other portions of scripture, perhaps as far as for time's sake, if we have time, that is, Judas was, he died a lost man. He was never saved to begin with. Yes, he had a part of the ministry. Yes, he had an office that he held in that church. And yes, he was a man that had no doubt seen miraculous things. But as you'll see, and Jesus even points out in calling him a devil and calling him a thief, Jesus points out on several occasions what he really was. We see in this verse of Scripture, notice first of all, we see them waiting on the Lord's will, verses 12 through 15. They're waiting on the Lord's will. We see, number one, if you're taking notes, we see their assembly, verse 12 and 13. They're assembled. Verse 12 says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. That, under the law, that's the furthest you could travel, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode, and it gives us the names, Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. So you have those men. You have a situation in the local assembly now that, to be quite honest, it needs God's direction. You see, one of the things that we notice about this text is there's a problem here. There's a problem in the church. And you know what I've often learned in life and what I've often learned in ministry over the years is that often when you have problems in a church, it's really an opportunity for God to manifest his power through that problem. The Lord Jesus Christ, the local assembly, is not immune from situations that seem difficult. The local assembly is not immune from times in it to which you have a problem here or a problem there. I've also learned that anytime you have a group of people gathered, there's an opportunity, possibility for problems to happen. But really what matters is not necessarily what the problem is. What matters is how are you going to handle that? How are you going to deal with the problem? How are you going to deal with the situation? Are you going to deal with the situation, as we see in this text, of seeking God's will, seeking God's direction, and prayer, and supplication, and really talking to God? Now, we said to you last week, you may recall, that Jesus has now ascended back to the Heavenly Father. He died, he was buried, he rose again 3 days later. He stayed on the earth for 40 days, and at the end of that 40 days, he went back to the Father. During that 40-day span while he was on earth after his resurrection, he would appear. He would go in and out of different groups of people. He would go in and out with his church. He would go in and out with a group of 500 people. He would appear and he would go, and the resurrected Lord. Thomas, when he saw him, he said, Jesus, of course, had told Thomas and the rest after the traitor Judas had been revealed in John 14, before he ascended, before he died on the cross, Jesus told him, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, Thomas, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, before Jesus died and was buried and rose again and ascended to the Father, there was a lot of doubt in the hearts of many. There was a lot of doubt in the minds of many, even his followers. But after Jesus had resurrected, and after Jesus, the resurrected Lord, would appear in and out with them, something took place in their heart. Something miraculous took place in their heart. We see this assembly. We see them waiting on the Lord's will. We see their assembly. But notice, we see, second of all, letter B, we see their assurance. Verse 14 and 15. The Bible tells us in the text, as we've read it. So Peter, he stands up there in verse 15. There's a problem in the church. Judas is gone, right? Judas has betrayed the Lord. Can you imagine that? There is no, honestly, I don't think there's anything worse than betrayal. You know what I mean? I don't think there could be anything worse in the hearts of these men than in what they had witnessed with Judas Iscariot. You know, Brother Jeff Fain and Nicholas and several of the other guys from Brother Jeff's church are right now, they're over in Jerusalem, and they went to Golgotha, and Brother Fain posted a picture of what Golgotha was and the place of a skull. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where it's believed to be the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed and, of course, was taken by the soldiers. And Judas, of course, was the one that had betrayed the Lord and led him right to him. And there in that garden, and as I thought about this, and Brother Jeff said, man, it was a moving kind of thing. He said, there in that Garden of Gethsemane, he says, we were standing there. He said, my son Nicholas, he said, he just got overwhelmed with emotion and started crying and had to walk away. And if you think with me just for a moment, the awful night that must have been. Can you imagine being one of the 12? Can you imagine being the 11? Judas, of course, was a betrayer. Judas, of course, hated Jesus. You know, there's a text in the New Testament when Mary, remember, she broke the alabaster box, I believe is the story. And it was a precious ointment. Bonnie sings that song. Man, what a beautiful song. You don't know the value. You don't know the treasure that's there. So she breaks it and she anoints the body of our Lord from the head to toe and wipes his feet with her tears and her hair. And yet the Bible tells us that Judas then says, whoa, wait. You know, this is expensive ointment. We could have sold it and given it to the poor. And Jesus said he could care less about the poor. He's a thief. That's what Jesus said of Judas. You see, one of the things about the Lord Jesus, he knows all. Amen? He knows all. He knows motive. He knows why we do what we do. And he knows who we are. He's not worried about what we say we are. He knows who we are. And the Bible tells us of Judas. We see them in this assembly. Peter stands up. I mean, they're heartbroken. Can you imagine? I mean, think with me for a minute. Can you imagine this betrayal? Can you imagine the sadness and just the hurt that is in their heart. I mean, this is a situation that could have split that. It could have split that church right down the middle. I mean, it really could have. But yet, thankfully, they had enough sense of God that they were going to pray and they were going to seek God's will. They didn't have the answers. They needed God to show them what to do. They didn't know what to do. I mean, other than pray, you see, Jesus was gone now. The very one, I preached the memorial service yesterday for a man. I didn't know him, but preached another service, and I hope God used it. And I talked about, as far as, I think I mentioned a little bit about Judas, and I mentioned a little bit about the, yes, I did. I mentioned about how these men had to be just devastated. Here is somebody in Jesus that they love. Here is somebody that they care about. Here is somebody that they've walked with and talked with and witnessed him heal the sick, witnessed him raise the dead, witnessed him, you know, cast out demons in people's lives and give sight to the blind and, you know, miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And now they've been betrayed by one of their very own. He sold out the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He dies a horrific death, of course, we see in just a moment. But Peter stands up. And he, through the power of God, is going to bring assurance to these dear people. You see, I've also learned these were the leaders, right? These were the leadership of the church. And there was no doubt they were hurting. So if the leadership of the church was hurting, you can imagine what the membership must be feeling and the sadness that they must be feeling. But thankfully, leaders are called to lead. Amen? Leaders are called to lead, and that's what you have to do. The show, if you will, the proverbial show must go on, not being irreverent, but it has to. When problems happen, they're going to happen. Anytime you have people, they're going to happen. It's going to happen in a church. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and it's going to happen. But really what matters most is, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to handle it? How are you going to deal with the problem? The Bible said, verse 14, they continued with one accord. They had unity. You see, can you imagine? I mean, think of me for a moment. Let's bring it in the church life. Let's bring this in. Let's kind of channel this for a minute. Let's just kind of process this. One of the preachers was a traitor. One of the preachers was a lying thief. One of the preachers in this group, one of the leaders, one of the preachers, who, oh, by the way, was a treasurer. I mean, so that tells you, say, yeah, it tells me you got to be careful with people that are treasurers. No, that's not what we're saying. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. This was a man, I'm telling you, under God, this was a man who absolutely was trusted. You wouldn't put somebody that you don't trust over the money. No, he would have been trusted. He would have been looked up at. He would have been, you know, a man who the rest of the guys would have thought, oh, surely not Judas. No, surely not him. Surely, here's what you got to understand. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, where would we be today? Apart from Jesus saving us and intervening in our life, where would we be? I tell you what, I shudder at such a thought. I've said it many times. If it weren't for the Lord God saving me when he did, I'm not a prophet. I'm not somebody that knows the future. But I know the direction I was headed. And I'm telling you, one thing I do know, I would not be married to Buttercup today had Jesus not intervened in my life. You say, no, Buttercup wouldn't be married to you. No, I wouldn't be married to Buttercup. Who knows where I would be? One place I know I probably wouldn't be today had Jesus not saved me. I wouldn't be in a church. I won't be behind a pulpit. I'm grateful that God intervened in my life. And we see in this text, so Peter, he stands up and he wants to bring assurance to these dear, sweet people. You see, yes, the local church often has issues in it, but I'm still grateful for her, aren't you? I'm still thankful for the local church. I'm still thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ receives glory and honor in the local New Testament church. It's a local church that was given the Great Commission. I truly believe, deeply convicted by the fact that in order to fully fulfill the Great Commission, you have to have a local church to do so. So Peter stands up. They have unity. They're in one accord. They did not allow the devil to split this church. They did not allow a difficulty to split this church. They did not allow an adversity to split the church. No, they understood one thing. They understood that God was in control, God was sovereign, and no matter what the situation may be, if they stayed in unity and they stayed in prayer, seeking God's direction, seeking God's will, staying humble, staying unified, God could work and God would work. And ladies and gentlemen, may that be a testament to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. Would to God that we have a spirit of unity. Would to God that we have a spirit of not only unity, a sense of urgency in our hearts that we need God's will and direction in our life more than our next breath. And we need the leading of His precious Holy Spirit. That's why, and I know it's a ways out, but that's why even now I promise you I'm praying that God will bring a revival, perhaps unlike any we've ever seen here at Emmanuel Baptist, coming up in November with Dr. Jeff LaBorg. I promise you, I really believe God's hands on him and the Lord's using him mightily as an evangelist, as he preaches. He's a pastor, but also he goes and he preaches and he holds meetings, and man, God's just all over him. So you pray and pray fervently that God will meet and really do amazing things in our midst. And I believe he's going to do that. The Bible tells us. They were one accord in supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Can you imagine? Can you sense the feeling of sadness? Can you sense the feeling of perhaps discouragement? One of their very own has let them down. You see, it's not the ones that you know that hate you that really bother you, is it? You expect that. Hate maybe is a strong word. You expect it. Well, it wasn't. It didn't take me too long when I became a pastor back in 1995. Man, it seems like a blur. It didn't take me long until I started pastoring. Then I began to realize it. And I was shocked by this. I was shocked by this, Brother Gene Buckner. I was shocked that not everybody loved me. I was shocked by that. Not everybody liked my preaching. You say, preacher, don't you say it. Don't you say it. Not everybody liked me. But here's what I've learned. Listen, friend, you know, there are some that you expected, but the ones that just kind of blindside you, man, those are the ones that hurt. The Lord Jesus Christ, remember what he talked about in the Old Testament? He's betrayed in the house of his friends. He was betrayed. He's absolutely betrayed. And yet something has to be done. Something has to be done. Do we just look at the situation? Do we just look at the, you know, the sadness and the sorrow and then succumb to, I'm hurt, so I'm not going to go anymore? No, friend. Often it's when you're hurt that you need the local church even more. That's been my experience. When you're hurt, we need each other more sometimes when we're hurt, because that, listen, look up here for a minute. That is often when Satan does his work. When we're discouraged, he wants to come on and come into our lives and come into the church and say, well, you might as well quit. Look what's happened. You might as well stop going. You might as well quit assembling. You might as well quit just getting together as a body. No, friend, that's a time when you need it more. That's the time when you need to gather together. And I tease and I meant this, but I mean this in the context. We'll meet one Monday a month, the men's meeting, M-E-A-T, capital M, capital E, capital A, capital T, little ing, right? We're just going to have some fellowship. We're going to have some prayer. We're going to walk through a book together and just grow in our love for the Lord, hopefully prayerfully, but also grow in our love and support for each other as men of Emmanuel Baptist. I really believe that God can do that. I really believe that the Lord Jesus can even bring us even closer. You say, preacher, we're busy. I know we're busy, but I usually eat about that time. 11 o'clock, I'm looking for the chips, and it's wrong. I know I'm bad. It's awful. Don't tell Billy. Don't tell him. Every time I text him, he texts me, you should be on a low-salt diet. He tells me this, low-salt diet. Pray for Billy. I don't think he's saved. I'm just kidding. Billy's a heart doctor, if you didn't know that. Their assembly, their assurance. Peter stands up. Verse 15. Number of names, 120. They're waiting on the Lord's will. But now, second of all, and I'm going to end. I'm going to have to finish this next week because I want to make sure Brother Ryan has plenty of time to get to that service. We see them waiting on the Lord's will, but second of all, we see them watching the Lord work. You see, preacher, you mean to tell me that God can work in the midst of a horrible situation like this? You better believe he can. Preacher, you mean to tell me that God can work in the middle of a situation when a church has adversity and a church has times when, man, it just seems like the rug was pulled out from under? You better believe God can work. As a matter of fact, friend, I've seen God do it. I've seen God do it. I've seen God do it in churches that were down, in churches that were defeated, in churches that, to be honest, we're not as Emmanuel. That's not where we're at. But I've seen God work mightily in churches. Westview Baptist was 6 people. And God chose to work mightily in that church over the years and raise that church up. Emmanuel was down to 22 people roughly. And God chose to bless and chose to work and chose to show himself strong and powerful. Berry Baptist Church was down to 4 or 5 or 6 people in Berry, Kentucky. And God led Pastor Fain and Miss Charlay there. And before it was over with, God just miraculously raised up that little church. There was only, I believe, I could be wrong on this, but there was only a couple hundred, maybe 250 people or 300 people in the whole town, I think, at that time. And in one service, they had over 300 one time. In one service at the Berry Baptist. God raised that church up. You say, Pastor, yeah, but listen, friend. When we're weak, he's strong. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. It'll be the Lord Jesus and the power of his Holy Spirit that's going to lead and guide and direct. So we see they're literally watching the Lord's work. The Lord work. In verse 15, we kind of hit it, but let's just continue on. Verse 16 says, men and brethren, this scripture. So Peter is going to reference literally, listen, this was all part of God's plan, people. Judas, the scripture had to be fulfilled. God is not the author of sin. I'm not saying that. But God works in the hearts and in the affairs of human beings. He does that. And he uses humans, whether saved or lost, he uses them to accomplish his will and his purpose. And Peter stands up and again references God's sovereignty. And he said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which by the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas. He's referencing the Old Testament. He said, listen, this had to happen. It had to happen. Yes, it hurts. And sometimes, friend, it does hurt, doesn't it? Sometimes, listen, sometimes God's will is painful. It's painful. Sometimes God's will, it's tough to accept. Am I preaching to an empty building? I'm telling you, under God. Sometimes God's will is tough. Sometimes God's will, man, it's hurtful. It hurts. But here's what also I know about God's will. God's will is always perfect. And God's will is always best for me. And God's will is always best for you. And when we cannot see it, when we cannot understand it, and by the way, friend, there are parts of serving God that we don't understand. Because if I were God, and by the way, I'm not, but if I were God, I wouldn't have done this. Well, listen, I'm not God, and neither are you. I said that to the folks there yesterday. I said, you know, as a preacher, I said, Thomas had a lot of questions. I said, as a preacher, I have a lot of questions. I said, I honestly do. I said, I question why God, and I'm just being truthful. I question why, Lord, when I preach a funeral of a 6-month-old baby who drowns in a bathtub. Why, God? You said, preacher, you shouldn't do that. Well, call me unspiritual. But I like to say I'm just simply human. And sometimes in my frailty, I have questions, but then I have to, even though I have questions, then I have to really refocus my mind, Miss Marcia, and I have to rest in the sovereignty of God, that the Lord has a plan, and he works, and he does exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever ask, all that we could ever think, and he is God, and I'm not God. And I have to, and here's a thought, and this may be what you need to hear this morning. That's why it is said, Jesus says of, oh, this is good. Jesus says of his children, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we see as this unfolds, we see the sin of Judas is reviewed. They're going to review it. It's a sin of treachery. It's a sin of tragedy, as we'll continue this next week. But as we just kind of end in this thought, don't know where you're at today. Maybe today you're in a situation in your life. Say, Pastor, I'll be honest, I've been hurt by churches. Listen, hey, I understand that. I understand that totally. You say, Preacher, I've been let down by churches. I've been let down, Preacher, by men of God. My wife and I, we've had conversations over the years. Honestly, we had a conversation very recently, and I'm just being truthful. Some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life are preachers. I'm just being truthful. And I think to myself, man, what's wrong with you? Maybe it's just they've gotten so hurt. Man, honestly, I'm just trying to look through their eyes, perhaps. Maybe they've just gotten hurt. Maybe they've just gotten bitter because they've been hurt so much. God forbid. I mean that. God forbid. I don't ever want to get like that. I don't ever want to get bitter. I don't ever want to get to the point where I've been hurt, so therefore I'm bitter and I hate people, put a wall up and dare anybody to get close. Don't. God forbid that ever. I don't ever want that to happen. But I don't know. But if you're here today and you don't have Christ your Savior, sweet friend, I encourage you right now to repent, call upon God to be your Savior. Believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day. And if you'll do that, trusting Christ and Christ alone to save you, He'll save you. And then you can do as these are doing today, following the Lord in baptism, become part of a local assembly where you can serve God the remainder of your day, furthering the work of God, furthering the kingdom of God. You say, yeah, but Pastor, you said before that, and preacher, you hit it hard today, that churches aren't perfect. And you said that churches have problems in it. Why in the world would I want to be part of a church that has problems? Listen, friend, you could go 100 miles in a circle looking for a church that's perfect, and you won't find it. Matter of fact, you can go in all 50 states. You can go in every country in the world, and you're not going to find a perfect church. But one thing you will find is assemblies of people that love Christ. Assemblies of people that want to follow the Lord Jesus. Assemblies of people, called out assembly, that is assembled together for the purpose and sole purpose of honoring Christ, furthering His kingdom, sharing the gospel, being a lighthouse in a darkened world and a community that needs Jesus more than its next breath. And its friend, it's in assemblies like that that you can grow in your walk with Jesus. It's in assemblies like that where you can grow in your relationship with Him and you can grow in your relationship with one another. And we're not perfect, no, none of us are. We're just simply sinners saved by the grace of God. And we would welcome you with open arms if that's your decision. Let's all stand, please, for hymn invitation. Those of you awaiting baptism, please head back and get prepared for baptism. Brother Ryan will be doing the baptism today with me in my recovery still with my knee surgery. Excited. Man, I'm excited to see y'all get baptized today. Brother, we got anybody to lead a song? Pat was going to. We had a partial rapture. He's in children's church. Play something, Miss Bonnie. Go ahead and be seated. No, don't be seated. We got to give invitation. Stand up. She'll play, you come. She'll play, you come. 284. If you want to sing with me, you come. Sing it out, church.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. Sing it out. Then light, look at the Savior. Life more abundant and out, you come as we sing. Turn.